FNC's Carlson, "Our system isn't what we thought it was. It's not as fair as it should be." By Jeff Poor on November 10, 2020. Monday, Fox News Channel's Tucker Carlson opened his program by dissecting the country's election system and how it was influenced by the media, polling, big tech, among others. Carlson's takeaway was that even beyond allegations of voting irregularities, the current system is unfair. Transcript as follows. Carlson, in case you haven't noticed, it's hard to trust anything you hear right now. We've heard you. We are grateful that you trust us and we will try to be worthy of your trust. We want to begin tonight by assessing some of the things no doubt you have heard about last week's presidential election. There are conflicting versions of virtually every part of that story. But as of right now, here's what we think we know. For much of election night, Donald Trump seemed to be leading in a number of key swing states. Then early Wednesday morning, he began to fall behind. That trend continued more or less for several days. On Saturday, the media declared Joe Biden the president-elect. Biden quickly accepted that judgment. The Biden campaign now has something called the Office of the President-elect. It sounds official, which of course is the point of setting it up. And in the end, it's possible it will be official. If after all the questions have been answered, it becomes clear that Joe Biden is the legitimate winner of the presidential election, we will accept that and will encourage others to accept it, too. We are Americans first, we want what is best for this country. We want our system of government to continue. Whether it does continue, though, depends in part on how we proceed from here. As of tonight, tens of millions of Americans suspect this election was stolen from them. That means we now live in a country where a large percentage of our population no longer believes that our democracy is real. That is sad. It is also dangerous, it could easily get worse. What we're doing in response is hardly the solution. It is making our country much more volatile. It is setting us up for something bad. In a democracy, you cannot ignore honest questions from citizens, you're not allowed. You can't dismiss them out of hand as crazy or immoral for asking. You can't just cut away from coverage you don't like. You can't simply tell people to accept an outcome because force doesn't work in a democracy. That's dictatorship. In a free society, you have to convince the public of your legitimacy. You have to win them over with reason. Democracy is always a voluntary arrangement. Telling voters to shut up is never enough. So in this case, tonight, there's only one way to lower the national temperature and unite the country. We need to find out exactly what happened in this election and there are questions, and that means we have to answer them. For example, in Pennsylvania, Nevada, and Michigan, the Trump campaign has now collected signed affidavits that attest to criminal activity during the voting process. In the city of Detroit, witnesses have alleged under oath that ballots were improperly backdated and counted without matching signatures. One poll watcher alleges that 40,000 late unsealed absentee ballots were counted orally and all of them went for Democrats. In the state of Nevada, eight whistleblowers from within the Nevada Election Department say they witnessed voter fraud abetted by other election officials and by their supervisors. According to one affidavit, a poll worker saw people bringing handfuls of ballots to the Biden-Harris campaign van. Those ballots were then filled out at the van, placed in return on envelopes. Eventually, Biden supporters formed a wall to block outsiders from seeing what they were doing. Meanwhile, according to voting records, people who are not even alive still somehow managed to vote on Tuesday. In New York, deceased voters cast absentee ballots. On October 9 in Nevada, a man called Fred Stokes Jr. mailed in his vote. The only problem was Fred Stokes Jr. died 3 years ago at the age of 92. The Republican Party of Nevada says it is aware of hundreds of other potential cases of dead people casting ballots. In Pennsylvania, records showed turnout from several people who were born in the 19th century. They apparently rose from their graves to vote. Now all of that is real. We spent all weekend checking it. False claims of fraud can be every bit as destructive as the fraud itself. So we need to be careful and responsible, all of us. But what we just told you is true, and there is more of it. Just hours ago, in the state of Georgia, an election official admitted they will find illegal votes and double voters when they check the voter rolls. Begin video clip. Unidentified male, let me be perfectly clear on another point. We're going to find that people did illegally vote. That's going to happen. There are going to be double voters. There are going to be people who shouldn't, did not have the qualifications of a registered voter to vote in the states. That will be found. Is it 10,353? Unlikely. But every election, as I've said I think every day at this podium, is imperfect. End video clip. Carlson, we are going to find that people did illegally vote, that's going to happen. That is the official account before even counting the votes from a key swing state in the middle of a contested election. And of course, you can believe it because we've already found illegal voting. So much for those claims that voter fraud never happens. Of course, it happens. They knew it happened when they told us it would never happen, because they are liars. So, we know that for sure. At this stage, the fraud that we can confirm does not seem to be enough to alter the election results. We should be honest and tell you that, of course, that could change. But changing the election results is not the whole point. The real point is that fraud took place and that should horrify us. If you want people to believe that our system is real, that our system is worth, say, joining the military and dying to protect, then you've got to get to the bottom of what just happened and you've got to do it as quickly and responsibly as you can. You can't have fraud in an election because no one will believe in elections, and then things fall apart. But gathering facts is the last thing our media, our designated facts gatherers, seem to want to do. Instead, they are demanding that you shut up and accept Joe Biden. Period. That's their verdict, you must accept it, and if you don't accept it, they will hurt you. In other words, no one in this country is going to set up a quote, resistance to Joe Biden. They are going to make certain of that. Those resist stickers, you remember, no, those are for Range Rovers only. No pickup trucks allowed. Try it, buddy, and you'll find out. Overstatement? Well, this morning, a prominent anchor on CNN sent this tweet to Trump supporters. Quote, I truly sympathize with those dealing with losing. But at a certain point, one has to think not only about what's best for the nation, peaceful transfer of power, but how any future employers might see your character defined during adversity. Got that? Your character is on trial here. Future employers, take note. In other words, accept Joe Biden now or you will never work again. Do what CNN tells you to do or good luck feeding your family. Did the Sicilian Mafia ever make threats that explicit? No, they didn't, because they knew the FBI was listening. But in this case, the FBI is on board. And so, of course, it's the entire media establishment. After Joe Biden claimed victory on Saturday, CNN released an ad commanding its viewers to accept Joe Biden as their lawful president and holy savior. If you don't let Joe Biden into your heart, there cannot be peace. Watch. Begin video clip. Unidentified female, voiceover, our trust has been broken in our leaders and our institutions, even with some of our friends. And we are hurting. Now, more than ever, we need each other, to listen, to learn from one another, to rebuild those bonds. End video clip. Carlson, it's over. Now is the time to come together. Now is the time for healing, or else. So what exactly is this healing that they are looking forward to, that they're commanding you to participate in? Well, Michelle Obama has thought a lot about healing. In her message of unity, Michelle Obama wrote this quote, "Let's remember that tens of millions of people voted for the status quo, even when it meant supporting lies, hate, chaos, and division," end quote. That's the unity message. Let's remember who disobeyed. Let's hurt them. Let's remember the people who voted for our political opponents. Sandy Cortez of Westchester didn't need to be reminded because she hadn't forgotten. Cortez asked this, quote, "Is anyone archiving these Trump sycophants for when they try to downplay or deny their complicity in the future? In the future? Is George Orwell writing her scripts? No. She is writing them herself." And the answer, of course, to that question, the question, "Is anyone keeping track of the Trump supporters who must be punished into perpetuity?" The answer is yes. Someone is keeping track, in fact, many people. Harry Sivigan, the former National Press Secretary for the Democratic National Committee and former Pete Buttigieg staffer, was already hard at work on an online enemies list. He wrote this quote, "White House staffers starting to look for jobs. Employers considering them should know there are consequences for hiring anyone who helped Trump attack American values," end quote. Oh, American values, says the guy who is going full Soviet. Totally impervious to irony, these people. Corporate America, of course, was on board. Needless to say, They never left. They were always on the team, the Chamber of Commerce, the National Association of Manufacturers, Republican groups, right? Along with CEOs from companies like United Airlines, Microsoft, Amazon, you name them. They already congratulated Joe Biden as the counting was still underway. And as they were doing that, the media were not hard at work verifying the integrity of the election of the democracy they so deeply cherish. They weren't interviewing the poll workers who signed those affidavits we just told you about, which are real. Instead, here's what they're doing. Begin video clip. Chris Cuomo, CNN anchor, how are you feeling? Don Lemon, CNN anchor, I almost can't talk right now, because of the emotion. Everyone is welcome under this tent. We don't care who you are. We don't care if you voted for us or not. You're all part of this American experiment. I was so overwhelmed to hear that. I don't care what people think. If they think I'm biased or not, I don't care. And so I'm very emotional, so when you ask me how I'm feeling right now, I'm sorry. That's all I can tell you. This is how I feel right now. I'm so happy to have this platform to be able to do this. I may not have it after this. But I really don't care. I am so happy. End video clip. Carlson, I don't care. Take it from someone who does this gig for a living. If you can keep your emotions in check to think clearly, you are a child, go do something else. I don't care if people think I'm biased or not. There you go. And they really don't care, because they don't need to, because they won or claim they do. Like all hasty decisions, the one they are trying to force on us, we will regret it. Have you ever made a hasty decision you can live with long term? No. No, you haven't. The point isn't that we need to keep investigating until Donald Trump wins. That is not the point. The point is we need to find out what happened so that the rest of us believe the system is real. And to make that happen, Congress ought to investigate every meaningful claim of illegal voting. Every legitimate claim that is raised must be investigated. Would that become a circus? Of course. Would a congressional hearing on voter fraud descend inevitably into partisan posturing? What do you think? Yes, it's guaranteed. But there's no choice. It's still worth it. An investigation like that, a federal investigation, would produce facts, and we need facts. Transparency is the key. Without it, there is no hope. Ever wonder why people on both sides are embracing conspiracy theories? Why do you think that's happening? And you can't just make them go away or shut down the websites. People reach for that. Why? Because they know the people telling the official story are lying and they are lying. And the moment they try to get real answers from the people in charge, here's what happens. Begin video clip. Whoopi Goldberg, host, The View, all of you suck it up. Suck it up like we sucked it up. And if you are not sure that you're comfortable with Joe Biden, do what we did, find things and then take it to the law. And if the law says it's something to look at, look at it. But from now on, suck it up, grow the pear for him that he can't grow for himself. Because this is ridiculous. You're not sure that he won. You bringing into question all of these Americans who voted legally, came out and stood and voted. How dare you question that? End video clip. Carlson, the unhappiest people in the world have all the power and how dare you question it? How dare you ask why dead people are voting? How dare you question the decision desk, plebe, who are you? Their contempt, evident all along, is completely out in the open right now. If you won't admit that Joe Biden is the president, even though votes are still being counted, guess what you are? And you saw this coming, ladies and gentlemen, you're a racist. Begin video clip. Eddie S. Claude Jr., University Professor of African American Studies, Princeton University, more white people voted for Donald Trump in 2020 than they did in 2016. So the reckoning that we're experiencing as a nation, at least to my mind, shows us that race, selfishness, greed continue to threaten the very life of our republic. End video clip. Carlson, oh, of course, racism, says the Princeton professor, of course, not a surprise. That's always the answer when they want to force you to be quiet. The question is there a shelf life on this? How long do the people in charge think they can continue making the same play again and again and again? How long can the most privileged people in our society, the Princeton professor, berate those beneath them into silence from their perches on cable news? They probably imagine they can do it forever, but they are wrong. It can't last. Nothing this grotesque goes on forever. At some point, it will end. We hope the system won't explode at that point, but that's where we're going. So what's the solution? How do we fix it? How do we bring the country together? How do we calm things down? How do you want to? How do we make an America you want to live in? And the only answer, the only solution is honesty. Let's all stop lying. Lying about everything that matters, every day of our lives, that's what we're doing now, have you noticed? How many times did you lie today because you had to? Let's repeal our national dishonesty mandate. It's a law never codified but still ruthlessly enforced, and tell the truth instead. That's our only hope. Tell the truth about everything. Declassify the documents, note the obvious right in front of you. Get to the bottom of it all. Why shouldn't we do that? What we're doing now clearly isn't working. Enforced lying is making everyone paranoid and crazy. Truth cannot be worse than what we're living through now. One of the first things that we should be honest about is that the worst forms of election tampering took place far from polling sites. It wasn't votes from dead people, those are bad. But they weren't the worst thing. The worst thing was more obvious than that. The worst thing was Silicon Valley. The tech monopolies spent the final weeks of the presidential election suppressing the voices of Trump supporters and hiding damaging information about his opponent, Joe Biden. That happened. We saw it firsthand. We experienced it, you may have to. In August, Facebook banned the pro-Trump Super PAC committee to defend the president from buying any campaign advertising. What? What election has that happened in? None. Just a few weeks ago, as you well know, the New York Post published true and accurate details of the Biden family's lucrative overseas influence peddling operation, which was real, which Joe Biden knew about. Facebook, in turn, limited the distribution of this article and Twitter blocked people from posting it. In other words, they censored it. They kept people from knowing about it. And on what basis? Nothing in those articles was untrue. But they censored it anyway. Along with any content that was critical of lockdowns and mandatory mask wearing. Why? Because Biden supported those. There are many threads to this. There's overwhelming evidence it happens. We'll just pick one piece, a report from Breitbart. They took a lot of time to look into what Google was doing to them. They found that Google suppressed its stories about Joe Biden in the middle of 2020 through Election Day. Suppressed them, quote, clicks and impressions to Breitbart News from Joe Biden Google searches display the healthy pattern of activity until the middle of 2020 when they suddenly flatlined. The plunge first occurred after a major update to Google's search algorithm in May 2020. Ask anybody in digital news. Does searches for the names of candidates decline as we get closer to the election? No, probably not. In fact, they accelerate. But not if Google is censoring you, which is what they were doing. None of this is normal. It doesn't matter how often or how emphatically CNN encourages it. It tells you it is fine tells, it tells you it is necessary to suppress disinformation. It's totally wrong and it's crazy. Democracy cannot survive tampering like that. The Biden campaign knows exactly what happened. They know exactly the degree to which they benefited from it, and that's why they are rewarding their co-conspirators in big tech with even more power. Biden apparently has already hired Jessica Hertz, that's Facebook's former associate general counsel, as well as Cynthia Hogan, the former Apple vice president for government affairs. Oh, kind of an inside game? Yes. Reportedly, Biden has also considered naming Eric Schmidt, the former top executive at Google and a big Biden donor, to his technology industry task force in the White House. This is not a matter of rewarding your supporters. It is much bigger than that, and it is a deep concern to every American. If we're going to have free and fair elections going forward, and we must, then we have to end Silicon Valley's total control over information. It is the first thing we must do. We can't have free and fair elections without doing that. If voters aren't allowed to learn critical facts about political candidates before they vote, you can't have a democracy. And of course, that's why they're doing it. And then at some point, we need to understand what happened to the polls. The polls this year were profoundly wrong. They are pretending otherwise. They were fine. They weren't fine. They're lying to you when they tell you they were fine. They were measurably not fine. We could go on for an hour. Let's sum it up for you. Pollsters told us Republicans would lose seats in the House last week. They gained seats in the House. They told us Joe Biden would crush Donald Trump in the general election. He didn't. We're not alleging some formal conspiracy between pollsters, by the way, just so you know. We don't think they all went out to dinner together and rigged it. We assume that many pollsters made honest mistakes. Some of them are good people. On the other hand, and this is refutably true, nearly all of their mistakes helped Joe Biden. The final Real Clear Politics polling average had Joe Biden up 7.2% in the national popular vote. The final Quinnipiac poll said he was up 11%. Biden's current lead comes in at just over 3%. Those are big errors. Quinnipiac's polls weren't just wrong nationally, they were wrong all over the country. And bad polling has an effect, a big effect at many levels. Here are a couple. In South Carolina, for example, Quinnipiac for at least three separate polls that showed Lindsey Graham was tied with the Democrat challenging him, a man called Jamie Harrison. On the basis of that, Harrison was able to raise over $100 million. That's the most ever for a Senate candidate. So Jamie Harrison, or any of these other candidates, went to donors in Los Angeles, New York, the money centers for the Democratic Party, and said, "Look at these polls. We've got a shot." Boom. $100 million. $67 million for the Democrat who lost in the state of Maine. In South Carolina, Jimmy Harrison lost the race by 10 points. It wasn't close. In Ohio, Quinnipiac's final poll showed Joe Biden up by 4. Trump inverted it and won by a little over 4%. So none of these errors were limited to one polling outfit. Most of the polls were way off. Why does that matter? It's not just, research shows polls influence voting. Effectively, voter suppression, and it is clear why. When people believe that their candidate can't win, and that's what the polls told us, can't win, they are less likely to vote for the candidate and much less likely to send the money. Would you want to be the guy sending money to a losing candidate? No, you wouldn't, and no one else would either. A study by researchers at McGill University and University of Toronto found this quote: "Polls may lead people not to vote for a given party because that party is perceived to be unlikely to win." Yes, didn't need researchers just tell us that. That's obvious. Maybe that's why they did it. We don't know. We should find out. And finally, another massive source of election interference that we should get to the bottom of came from our public health authorities and the politicians who run some of our biggest cities. This unfolded over months. We chronicled it in detail on this show, we'll continue to. But the bottom line is they leveraged the coronavirus pandemic to move votes. They certainly leveraged the pandemic to change the way we vote in ways they knew would benefit them. They are almost willing to admit that now. In New York, the governor there, Andrew Cuomo, announced that politicians would be, quote, "taking a new tone on coronavirus now that Joe Biden is the president-elect." In other words, the great orange emergency has passed now and it's party time. Watch thousands of Joe Biden supporters, including Chuck Schumer himself, gather side by side, literally sharing wine bottles in the streets. Suddenly, the deadly epidemic scares them not at all. Begin video clip. Senator Chuck Schumer, DNY. "Now, we take Georgia, then we change world." Question: "I'm sorry, can you repeat that, Mr. Schumer?" Schumer: "Now, we take Georgia, then we change America." End video clip. Carlson: "Yes. Then we change America." We can go on tonight over what happened in last week's election and in the future shows, you know that we will. But for now, let's sum it up. Here's the point. We don't know how many votes were stolen on Tuesday night. We don't know anything about the software that many say was rigged. We don't know. We ought to find out. But here's what we do know. On a larger level, at the highest levels actually, our system isn't what we thought it was. It's not as fair as it should be. Not even close. Sorry. I hate to say that. It's the milk bottles at the fair. They knew you were coming. They laughed at you when you left. We wish that wasn't true. But it is true and you're right. Follow Jeff Poor on Twitter at Jeff_Poor.